Let us pray. Lord, help us to hear your word. Help us to know your word and to spread your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The next few weeks, the sermon series is on songs. We're going to look at the song today, of course, Amazing Grace. Who has not heard the song Amazing Grace? A lot of people know this song and have heard this song. President Obama sang the words of Amazing Grace to comfort grieving families at a memorial service in Charleston, South Carolina.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound.
That song was even sung in Carnegie Hall. Amazing Grace was sung at the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington commemorating Dr. King's speech. Amazing Grace is sung in movies and on stages in theaters. Books are written about this song and the origin and the powerful words. The first verse is on the first page of a book called The Rainbow Bridge, Pet Loss is Heaven's Gain. And that's a book which is a source of comfort and hope to those grieving the loss of a pet companion. This song reaches our hearts, and it doesn't matter what race one is or what generation that we are from or what part of the world we live in. It has been sung as celebrations as well as funerals. What is grace? It is defined as the undeserved favor from God. It is where God shows mercy and he shows kindness to all, deserving or undeserving. Is there a more loving act than to offer kindness to someone who is undeserving? Because that is what grace is. God offers kindness to us. He does not say, oh, Mary Sue deserves grace and Bill does not deserve grace. He is a God of love. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Is there a more delicious word than grace? God is the author of grace. Who is the author of these words to this powerful song that was written over 200 years ago that touches us today here in the 21st century? And were the words from the author's heart, from maybe life's experiences? Let's take a look at how God's love and grace touched a man named John Newton. John was born in 1725 in London. His mother, Elizabeth, wanted John to be a preacher from the day that he was born. So she taught John to read and he was learning Latin by the age of 4. She read the Bible stories and was always testing him to be sure he was learning well. Unfortunately, Elizabeth died of tuberculosis when John was only 7 years old. His dad was a captain of a merchant ship and was always at sea, sometimes for 2-3 years. Well, he remarried and he sent John to boarding school. Time with the new family on holidays and summers opened up a whole different world for John. He hung with kids that was a bad influence, and he fell into their ways. John joined his father at sea at the age of 11. Can you imagine? At the age of 11. And years later, when there was trouble on board, John wanted to murder one of the officers. He was full of hate. His days at sea had hardened his heart. At one point of his life, he thought of suicide. He was far from those young days when he was reciting scripture with his mother and learning how to be a preacher. He was involved in the slave trade, where African men, women, and children were shipped across the ocean to be sold as slaves. The conditions on board were deplorable. The slaves, they laid on stacks of shelves like books chained to each other with little space between them. On some voyages, as many as 1/3 died. And John wouldn't hesitate to shoot any slave for any reason. He was trading human cargo. John Newton claimed to be a wretched man, just like he wrote in that song. He later said he was a man of terrible profanity, enough to make a sailor blush. And he said he was a wicked man. He claimed he was a ruthless businessman and unfeeling. Let me ask you, did John Newton deserve God's grace? During a horrible storm, the crew was certain the ship would sink, and John Newton, he prayed for deliverance. He claimed his conversion started that night. Even though he continued to go on voyages, working the slave trade, the Holy Spirit was working with him and on him. He took several years for his transformation of John Newton to take place. But John would read scripture that he remembered as a child. He would go down below at the end of the night and just look at the Bible. And thanks to God, our loving God, for the power of his grace. The song didn't happen overnight. Now, some thought that he had some divine awakening and he ran down below deck and he got paper and pencil and began writing this song. No, he went back to being into the slave trade. 25 years later, he wrote the words to this beloved song. And then he wrote Thoughts Upon an African Slave Trade around 1808. And in his writings, he confessed his work in the slave trade and condemned his practice. He was a strong advocate and a big influence to William Wilberforce, who fought year after year at Parliament for slavery to end in England, which, by the way, William was successful. What amazes me is that John not only turned away from his horrible sins and eventually from his work in the slave trade, but he worked to the day that he died, trying to make things right. He fought hard, convincing others that slavery was wrong. John later married. He waited 10 years to be accepted into school. He became a priest, and he was well known for his gentle pastoral care. This is a changed man. Look at what the power of the Holy Spirit and grace can do. People flocked around to hear him preach the word. His mother's prayers and her guidance paid off. John went on to write hundreds of other songs, one song that we'll sing during the offering called "Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken," where he speaks of God's living waters and eternal life. What is it about Amazing Grace song? Do we relate to the words, "I was lost"? Do we relate to the words, "I was blind"? Or how about "now I see"? What is it? The song Amazing Grace offers hope. It offers hope to the grieving, to the hungry, to the tired. It offers hope to the unloved. It offers hope to those who feel unloved. This song has power to transform. Hear the words, "The Lord hath promised good to me, his word my hope secure." The words give us assurance. It reminds us of his protection, his promises, his presence, and his grace. We all need his loving assurance. Sometimes we need it like every moment. We need his protection, sometimes from ourselves. We need his promises to know that they are true and everlasting. The words say, "He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures." Are we needing to hear that he is our shield? Yes, because life sometimes gets tough and hard. And even when we are at our highest point in life, this song will tug at our heartstrings. This song reminds us of where we've been, where we are, and who he is. How did Jesus reveal grace? By showing up. He revealed his grace by showing up. How does Jesus reveal grace? By pouring grace out on all of us, the handicapped, the poor, the needy, the sinner. The sinner, that's a big category. How does Jesus reveal grace? By his unconditional forgiveness. His journey on earth was about his passionate grace, doing for the undeserved. He did not have to die for us. What he did on the cross was pure, pure grace. So after we fall on our knees, humbly giving thanks and for his love and for his grace, then we stand and we spread grace, doing those acts of kindness to all.